Tuesday to February 16 broadcast of the Calvary Hour. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Thanks for tuning into the Calvary Hour. I'm Bill Wingard, your host speaker. This broadcast is sponsored by the Calvary Baptist Church located in New Bern, North Carolina. We are in Ezekiel chapter 8 and in 2 Kings chapter 23 and now in Romans chapter 1. If you're just joining us, you say, man, you got a lot to go through in 10 minutes. And you're right about that. Father, do bless us. Thank you for your word. The entrance of it giveth light. I pray that you'd bless and help us to be faithful to thee. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Remember that holiness becomes God's house forever. In the book of Ezekiel, God brings Ezekiel back from captivity and brings him in the spirit and shows him why God had to send the children of Israel into captivity. And as he brings Ezekiel back, he shows him the idolatry in the city. He shows him the wickedness, the idolatry, and the immorality that's in the house of God. And this has brought us over to the book of 2 Kings, where Josiah has been seeking to clean out the house of God. He had been stirred by God. He was the son of all things of the most wicked king in Israel's history, and that was Manasseh. And then, but God got a hold of his heart. Man, I'll tell you, I don't want to get sidetracked, but what a tremendous message is in this scripture. You know, we don't have to do according to our forebears. If they were wicked, we don't have to be wicked, dear friend. If they were godly, that doesn't mean that we're going to be godly. But I do know that God raised up Josiah, and Josiah wanted to do something for God. And when they got a hold of the word of God, let me say this, when God's word, they found God's word and it got a hold of them, then he sent the people in to clean out the house of God. And they were cleaning out the house of God of all this wicked, vile stuff. And then they went out and break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. I believe this is in the same line of women weeping for Tammuz over in Ezekiel chapter 8. And the question is asked, how could a house that had been dedicated to God, where God's glory had filled that house, how in the world could it have been turned over to idolatry and to adultery and to fornication? And then, of course, ultimately to perversion, as we see here in 2 Kings and in Ezekiel chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 1, we find out how that process begins and what it leads to. So if you can, go to Romans chapter 1 with us again, and we'll continue on. Wish we had time for a full review, but we do not. But here's how trouble begins. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This is what changes churches from gospel centers where Christ is preached and souls are saved and lives are changed into some type of social club, religious club, or whatever it might be. And unfortunately, many are bringing in the flesh, especially through contemporary music, this so-called contemporary Christian music that does not appeal to the spiritual nature of man, but to the carnal nature of man. Now, what did they do? Well, they refused to glorify God as God. Now, how do you refuse to glorify God as God? Well, there's a lot of ways you can do that, but one of the first ways is reject his word. You can reject his word, for the word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it comes from the very innermost being of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. That doesn't mean he never makes a mistake, but he's spiritually mature, perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. And I'm telling you, it's sad how many people are turning their backs on gospel preaching churches today, and they're going after the things of this world. How many times people come to a church and they'll want to know what that church has to offer? Now, they're not usually looking for scriptural preaching, for godly preaching, spirit-filled preaching, and Sunday school classes where their children are going to be taught the Word of God, taught that they're sinners, and that they need to repent, they need to get saved, and that their life can be used for God. But so many times, they're looking for entertainment, they're looking for their praise bands, they're looking for whatever it is that will stir the flesh and not the spirit, and entertain rather than bring conviction into the hearts and lives of their families. Now look, dear friend, I understand the principle of replacement theology, but dear friend, the gospel is never to be replaced. The need to be saved is never to be replaced. And churches were never intended by God Almighty to compete with this world for entertainment. That's not what the church is here for. It's to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Even before that, it is to edify the saints. And if you have the opportunity to get your family into a church where the Word of God is preached and they can be brought to the Lord, then don't sell out that great treasure simply because you can go somewhere else and be entertained and never have your feathers ruffled, so to speak. I like what somebody said years ago. They said, if the cat's fur is being rubbed the wrong way, then turn the cat around. Oh, that we'd be right with God. And I want to go ahead and get this off my mind, because we wonder, how have our churches, what has happened? Why is there not conviction? And why are there not people being saved like we would like to see them being saved? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons for that. But I'll tell you this as far as revival. Now, there's a difference between revival and evangelism. You know that. Revival, you got to be saved to be revived. You cannot revive somebody that's dead in trespasses and sin. They need to be resurrected. They need a new life in Christ. They need life. They need to be awakened to their spiritual needs, as God did back in the 1700s when Jonathan Edwards preached that powerful sermon on sinners in the hands of an angry God. And unsaved people were hanging on to the back of pews, and some were fainting for fearing they were dropping into hell. And old Bill Sundays, he came along and preached, and God bless, and it said that over 1 million people walked the sawdust trail. And also said concerning Bill Sundays' preaching that there was not a church within several miles of wherever he preached that was not affected by his preaching wherever he was preaching. For bawdy houses were closed, bars were closed, and broken families were restored back together. It was a wonderful thing that God was doing. But let me tell you how that usually took place, if I read history correctly. They didn't just go in and say, all right, you need to be saved. You know the first thing they did? They went in and they preached to God's people. Now, these meetings would not be 1 week long or 2 weeks long. We don't even see many of them anymore. Revival meetings in many churches have been cut down to a half a week, maybe one day, maybe one service. But they would go in, these preachers would go in, and they would preach for weeks, and they would preach to Christians, for Christians to get right with God. And after several weeks of preaching on the sins within the hearts of God's people, and remember what old Dr. Bob Sr. used to say, that there's no sin that any sinner ever committed that a Christian cannot commit under the proper provocation. Well, once Christians got under conviction and got right with God, then they would start preaching to the lost, and the Christians would be stirred to bring the lost in. In fact, some said that the lost would come to hear the preacher skin the Christians and get them right, and then they would hear the gospel and get saved. I'm just simply saying this. We're trying to do, according to the order of this world, everything quick, everything instant. You know, we got to have instant biscuits and we got to have instant internet and all this, but that's not the way it is. God takes time, my friends. He said, be still and know that I am God. And it's going to take a whole lot of preaching, spirit-filled preaching, to move the hearts of God's people, to move them back to the Lord, and then so that God will open the door also for preaching to sinners. Now, first thing they did was, it was in a negative sense. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was dark. And professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And anybody that professes themselves to be wise, contrary to the Word of God, has become a fool. And I say that carefully. Heavenly Father, may we be wise men. May we seek to follow Thee. We read in the Bible that wise men sought the Christ child, And may we be wise men to seek the living Christ, the resurrected Christ today, and be faithful to him and serve him. We pray in his name, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May our Lord bless you and make you a channel of his blessing. Please join us next broadcast if you can.